Blog Talk Radio.
Never violate the codes of the streets, and I would never make a promise that I know I couldn't keep, and I would never testify, cop out for a plea, or surrender information on my boys to the police, and you could never catch me on the block without a strap, and I would never pull it out unless I'm out to black, and I could never forget my homies dying for their scratch, forever pouring out liquor for them, God to the back, and I
Well, we have to forge those alliances again. And right now in Vienna, brothers and sisters are taking to the streets to free Mumia, to call for an end to the genocide in Palestine. So we need to say in solidarity to all of these people, power to the people, power to all of our people, and death to the fascist pigs. Power to the people.
Do. We didn't have a blueprint, and y'all do have one because you have what we've struggled to do. So y'all get out there and make a name for yourself. Do it your way and come to any of us OGs, and we will give you advice and help you to work things out. I just want y'all to know that. We're here for you, but we are old people, and I want you to also pray for a lot of the elder Panthers that are ill. I won't call them out by name, but there are a lot of elder Panthers that are ill. So, young people, do you make your mark and come call Auntie anytime you want.
There you go. Give it up again, y'all. Give it up again, y'all. Give it up again. Give it up again. Show them your love. Show them your love. Show them your love. Show them your love. Thank everybody for being here. That was a gigantic moment. I got you. Yep. We want to also acknowledge our movement lawyers who are in the room who helped free some of these people. I see Bob Boyle in the room. Shout out to Bob Boyle. Shout out to all the movement lawyers who have been on the front lines. Who freed Daruba, right? So let's always make sure that we acknowledge those movement lawyers who have been on the front lines. But thank you, thank you, thank you to the Panthers who being here today. We want to get to our first section. As we talked about earlier, we had a phenomenal opportunity to also engage folks who were from afar, but who provided a video for Mumia Abu-Jamal on behalf of his birthday. This first set of videos comes to us from three warriors in our midst as well, who are scholar warriors and teachers, people who have really fought not only for Mumia Abu-Jamal, but against imperialism, right, against neocolonialism. These are individuals who we love because of their work. We're talking about Vijay Prashad, Laura Whitehorn, and Jennifer with the Linda Peltier Coalition. Look at our first video. As we're doing that as well, our brother, my team, is going to be going around. Donation time. Donation time, if you can. All right. Now, I know that I'm in the pulpit, but I'm just saying, if you're able to, please, cash is welcome. But also, we can do Venmo by way of Mumia Money. That's M-U-M-I-A Money. And then just hit us up if you have any other questions about PayPal or Zelle. We can do it all. But the brother's going to go around to collect some donations. Please be able to provide anything that will go towards today's program and project with the speakers, with the organizers, and with most importantly, for Mumia Abu-Jamal, if you're able to. Our brother's coming around to make those collections. Thank you very much in advance. The Venmo is Mumia Money, correct? Mumia Money. Mumia Money is the Venmo. Thank you. Video, please. Thank you.
Comrade Mumia Abu-Jamal, happy birthday. You're 70 years old. You've outlived so many of our heroes. Frantz Fanon died at 36, incredibly young. Lenin died in his 50s. Marx died in his 60s. So did Kwame Nkrumah, 64 years old. But you are 70, wise man. I've often said of you, Mumia, that you are in prison. That's true, imprisoned by a nasty, brutish empire. You are in prison, but you are...
That's what they did to you. They put your body inside a cage, but your brain, your mind has expanses, multitudes, traveled everywhere, thought about everything, wrote about everything. Mumia, the contributions that you have made through the Prison Radio Project and other projects, your writings, your speeches, your book reviews, your constant intervention into the decadence of the U.S. imperial project, the decadence of that project, the inability of that project to produce for itself anything of consequence except violence and hatred, a project that is now unraveling as you still sit in prison. Nonetheless, your brain, your intelligence, right through this period of your physical incarceration was never held inside that cell. It roamed free. It captivated millions of people and it continues to captivate them. They thought that they put you into a prison cell. In fact, they made a great mistake, a grave mistake. This cell sharpened your analysis, sharpened your understanding, and brought large numbers of people to a consciousness of what this system does. This system, this brutal, repugnant system, which cannot see itself free of its roots in chattel slavery, hideous idea that people can be treated as property. It cannot see itself beyond that. It's unable to unearth itself from those roots. And yet there are so many gardeners, so many people trying to weed the territory of the United States. Are you yourself part of that entire team of weeders trying to uproot the system from those roots, hideous roots inside the system of chattel slavery, inside the system of imperialist violence, a system that smells of napalm? Can't get that smell, that stench, the stench of Guantanamo Bay, of Abu Ghraib prison. Can't get the stench of waterboarding out of the system. The system has to be uprooted. It is this system with that smell that refuses to allow you to walk free, even as your mind soars above the capacity of the people who hold you in prison. Brother Mumia Abu-Jamal, my comrade, my friend, 70 years old, celebrate your life, celebrate your age. Hope to see you out of prison within the next few years. Hope to celebrate you together. Warm hug, warm embrace, warm love, one love to you, comrade Mumia Abu Jamal.
Happy birthday, Mumia. This is Laura Whitehorn, former Hanshi Imperialist political prisoner and member of Release Aging People in Prison, RAP campaign, wishing you, on behalf of all of us, a very happy birthday and a very soon release from prison. So many people love you and are celebrating you around the world today, including every member of RAP. Recently, we traveled with other formerly incarcerated people and advocates and met with officials of the United Nations in Geneva, in New York City, in California, and as a result of a series of meetings, the UN and different bodies of the UN have now written to the United States saying that life without parole is death by incarceration and that life without parole sentences should be abolished. These long sentences serve no purpose other than to repress struggle, which of course is what you represent, the struggle that cannot be repressed. We know that these human rights violations are going on around the world, certainly in Palestine. We join with people around the world not only in fighting for human rights and liberation, but in celebrating you. As we know, as long as there is struggle, there will be political prisoners, but as long as there is struggle, there will always be hope. And Mumia, your voice represents that for millions and millions of people, and we know that you will be free. We are all dedicated to your freedom and to wishing you a happy birthday. We love you.
Peace and greetings on behalf of the Leonard Peltier community, including the Ad Hoc Committee and the Mass Incarceration Committee of the National Lawyers Guild. We wish you a happy 70th birthday, Brother Mumia. We stand with you in power, strength, love, and solidarity. Brother Mumia, I am personally grateful for your work with respect to jailhouse lawyers in helping to pave the way for movement lawyers like myself and many, many others. Unconquered still. Unconquered still. We stand in victory with you until it's won. Free all political prisoners. Free them all. Happy birthday, Brother Mumia. Blessings.
Give it up again, y'all. Free Leonard, right? Free Leonard Peltier. Free Leonard Peltier and all political prisoners. I want to bring up our comrade who's been diligently working with us really around the East Coast and around the country. We've been talking about, you know, the importance of Free Palestine. And so the Samadoun, you know, prisoner, Palestinian Prisoner Network, the Solidarity Network, has been powerful, and they've been doing some phenomenal work for a long, long time. And I can tell you from having visited Palestine myself with an important delegation about 6 years ago and seeing on the front lines of cities like Haifa and Ramallah and Hebron and East Jerusalem, seeing it up close, you're reminded of why this important work of Samadoun is so important. So I want to bring them up, and then also I want to give an announcement for the New York folks. After he speaks, the New York folks, their bus will be ready to leave. So for New York people, just know that. We thank you for coming here and being here with us all day today. Thank y'all, New York folks. I wanna personally thank Gil for, you know, helping to coordinate things for New York City. Shout out to Gil and really the whole Free Mumia NYC campaign and movement who's been supporting Mumia Abu Jamal for a long time. Thank you, Judith. Thank you, Nita. Thank you, Betsy Mickle, so many others who are here today. Gwen, Jacqueline, all you all, thank you so much for just your consistent efforts week in and week out. Thank you all. Free Palestine, y'all. Free Mumia Abu Jamal. Samadoun.
Hello. I just want to thank everyone for being here. I've been anxious about when I'm going to speak because I didn't want to be very early because you haven't heard the other speakers. But now I'm very upset at how many people went on before me and how many people I'm going to have to live up to. The amazing speeches that we've heard all night, these people whose name precedes them. And that's part of one of the things I wanted to talk about tonight. I wanted to talk about Mumia, and I really appreciated how many people were talking about Palestine tonight. And how that was the main focus. It's really important, like Mumia was saying, to give movements their time. When it's time to focus on this, we focus on this. It's really, really useful. And it's something we always try to do at Samadun. We always focus on all different movements whenever it's their time. We always try to highlight all the different political prisoners here in the U.S., in the Middle East, in France, everywhere in the world. And one of the things I wanted to talk about with Mumia is that there's a quote by Kevin Rashid Johnson, another political prisoner here in the U.S., and another writer, a brilliant writer, where he says, Mumia isn't free because we're not free. And that's the thing we always have to remember with this kind of stuff, because it's easy to come out to an event like this and then go home and think, my work is done. You know, once a year you go to Mumia's birthday. That's nothing. And I don't mean to say, you know, this isn't important. It's crucial. But this is one day. There's 364 other days. What are you doing that other time? What are you doing? You got a free hour over here, free 15 minutes. How are you finding a way to work this into your daily life? The thing that we find the most important in Samadun is getting to know the prisoners, remembering them, getting to know their lives. A lot of people talk about Mumia, but they don't know much about his life. They know Mumia the prisoner. But before he was a prisoner, he was out and he was doing work. And like we've heard about, his journalism. His journalism was amazing because he let the people speak. That's what he did. And because he was so dedicated to it, I was reading about Mumia in preparation for this speech, and I was just surprised at how much I didn't know. And I do these kind of speeches, I always try to include Mumia because he's so important. But still, every time I learn more and more, there's an endless trove of information just on this one person, and we can learn how to emulate him by studying his history. If you look at Mumia, his journalism was so powerful from such a young age that he was being followed by the FBI. He was being profiled by all different people, and he was being targeted constantly. Not only that, he was driven out of a ton of different journalism jobs. He eventually had to become a cab driver, and that's part of what led to this whole situation in the first place. That's where the frame-up happened. You know, it was because he was a late-night cab driver to make ends meet. So that's the kind of spirit that we should be emulating. We should be so dedicated to the truth that if we lose our job, that's okay. We get a second job. We do something maybe we don't want to do. He doesn't want to be a cab driver. He wants to be a journalist, but he wants to be a journalist for the people so badly that he'll sacrifice everything. And that's the spirit that we always want to get across. That's the spirit that we want to take with us, because that's why these prisoners are behind bars, because they fought for us day in and day out. And the thing that would free them is if we were more like them. We have to get to know them. If you look at Mumia's life, you also find that he was at one point very innocent-minded. He didn't really understand what was happening. He went with some of his comrades, and they protested. They protested George Wallace, and they went in, and they were shouting and yelling him down, and then they were beaten by the white racists in the crowd. There's a whole crowd of white racists, obviously, because it's George Wallace. And Mumia yelled out to a cop. He saw a cop, and he said, "Help, I'm being beaten." And that cop came over and kicked him in the face. And Mumia says, "I want to thank that cop because he kicked me right into the Black Panther Party." And so it's easy when you hear all these people speak, people who are living martyrs, right, who have dedicated their life to the struggle, to feel, I could never be like that. But here's Mumia, right? He's saying, oh, this cop, come help me. He learns, you know, he learns in practice. We all learn in practice. There are no born revolutionaries. Revolutionaries are made. It's a practical process, day in and day out, confronting injustice. And then what is your response to that injustice?
Are you so focused on yourself? Are you, oh, woe is me, I'm dealing with this. What about everyone else? What about everyone dealing with it? I mean, Mumia is obviously constantly being the target of racism, but what does he do? He focuses on MOVE. He focuses on other things happening in Philly. He's not making it all about himself. He's focusing on everyone. He's trying to make it a collective struggle. And still, to this day, I mean, we just heard him on the phone. Mumia doesn't talk about himself. He talks about everyone else and everywhere else. It's that spirit of martyrdom, like we have in Palestine. That's what gets people to that apex of human struggle, to be so dedicated that their whole life is for the people. The director of the prison radio, Noel Hanrahan, she says, you know how good of a journalist you are by how uncomfortable you make the people in power. And that's a really important thing for us to keep in mind. When we say names, how uncomfortable does it make people in power? Even sometimes just people on the streets. A couple of years ago, we were at a protest here for Mumia, and this guy just came out and ran over, and he's like, cop killer, cop killer. He's yelling and he's shouting us down. People are still mad about it. People are still trying to take that complete nonsense fabrication into practice and believe it. That's how important this case is. It's still on people's minds. And that's why we also try to focus on the prisoners in Palestine and do the same thing with their cases. We say, Walid Daqqa, who recently passed away, a Palestinian prisoner who's one of the most important prisoners in Palestine because of his contributions to the movement, because he was, just like Mumia, constantly talking to the people, constantly getting things out there. He even had a child while he was in prison. He was constantly trying to find a way to continue the struggle from within prison. So that's the main thing I want us to do, right? When we get out of here, continue the struggle. Find a way every day. I'm sure you have sometimes 30 minutes or 15 minutes or an hour. Watch a documentary on Mumia. Learn some more. Try to educate your friends. Try to take these people's lives and their practice into your consciousness every single day. And so I just want to wrap up and leave you with a quote from the chairman of the PFLP, Ahmed Sadat, who is a political prisoner right now in Palestine and whose writing is constantly at the forefront of our struggle. He says, from Ansar to Attica to Lan Maison, the prison is not only a physical space of confinement, but a site of struggle of the oppressed confronting the oppressor. Whether the name is Mumia Abu Jamal, Walid Daqqa, or George Ibrahim Abdullah, political prisoners behind bars can and must be a priority for our movements. These names illustrate the continuity of struggle against our collective enemies. They're legacies of organizing that reach back to the anti-colonial liberation movements of the 1960s, 1970s, 1980s to today. Thank you.
Yes, yes, give it up again, give it up again, give it up again, give it up again. What's the call? What's the call? From the river to the sea. From the river to the sea. Amazing. As we continue into moving into our final speakers, something that I wanted to just name and touch on that I appreciated that I heard earlier was how Mumia is, not was, right, is such a major influence for teaching our young people how the spirit of rebellion and resistance, it's inherent in us, right? I know that because I have a little one here who practices her resistance daily, right, steps into her political power. Comrade Gigi, as we call her in some circles. But right, just talking about what Mumia represented so much, right, when he was organizing in front of Benjamin Franklin High School, right, talking to young people, knowing the craft they were getting in the schools was not teaching them their history or their inherent worth to resisting the state and the system that they're in, and talking about how important it was to see young people excited to leave their classrooms because they knew the real lessons were in the streets. Right, and we know Mumia has taught us so much that our work, our study, and our lessons are in the streets, and that it's up to us to always tell the truth because we know the media will not do it for us. right? They will sell us the neoliberal, the imperialist language, right? The fascist language of oppression. But we know that it's up to us to have our own media, our own content, our own images, our own messages, right? Our own t-shirts that represent the truth. So without further ado, I'm going to welcome the brother whom we know from Black Power Media to come on in and drop this knowledge on us.
I love y'all, and I respect what the sister said, but I done did too much damn work to be relegated to Black Power Media. Black Power Media been around 3 years. I've been organized for 37 years. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate you, sister, not a diss towards you. I'm just saying, like, sometimes folks, you know, sometimes folks look at you like a YouTuber, as one of the young folks said. You know what I'm saying? And that ain't me. I'm an organizer. I'm a freedom fighter. I'm a Molotov. I'm scorched earth. You understand what I'm saying? So don't get it fucked up because y'all see me on the screen. I'm saying that, and I'm talking like this today because of the fact that Mumia must be free. Did y'all hear what I said? Mumia must be free. Am I wrong? And the last hour or so with Noelle Hanrahan, I want to give it up to her because of the fact that she was kind enough to invite me out there to go see a brother that I started organizing, one of the reasons why I started organizing in 1987 at 16 years old. We didn't talk about, man, it's messed up about being in jail. We didn't talk about, we didn't just have a whole bunch of political chatter. We do that on Black Power Media, right? We do that on RSTV. I wanted to talk to Mumia.
Right, right.
I didn't come in the capacity of a journalist. I came in the capacity as of a brother, of a comrade, of a fellow freedom fighter. That's why I was there. You know what? I'm going to share a little bit about what we talked. You know what we talked about? You know what we did? We laughed a lot. We talked shit. I ain't know Mumia talk so much shit. I'm going to just say it just like that. There's no other way to describe it. Mumia is a funny, funny guy. He's a brilliant man, but he's a funny guy. He has an excellent sense of humor. And I like for my comrades, folks like Chairman Fred and Ruben and all them, we laugh when we get together. We ain't just walk around looking angry with red, black, and green drawers on. We enjoy ourselves. We talk shit. Probably talk about some of y'all, because some of y'all are some bullshit. We ain't going to talk about that right now. Some of y'all know damn well you can be doing better. Right? And I didn't come here to tell you that because you already know that. I ain't come to tell you what you already know. I ain't Captain Obvious. But at the end of the day, it's going to take more than us just showing up for an event. It's going to take some action. It's going to take some groundwork. I'm looking here today, and for many of us, when we were younger, we looked at a lot of these political prisoners as our heroes. We looked at, we had a, I remember there was a poster that set the captives free. Remember that? And it had all of these different comrades on it. And I was looking at that poster recently, and the majority of those comrades are now ancestors. Many of them was released, and some of y'all claim victory because of the fact that they got a compassionate release. Don't claim no victory when it's a compassionate release. We're grateful that they get released, but don't act like they got out because of your ass. We keep pleading on the mercy of the state. I looked out here today, and I saw Sundiata Kobe. I looked out here today and I saw Daruba. I looked out here today, I saw folks like Bob Boyle, right, the movement attorney. I looked out here today and I just saw so many beautiful faces from so many different places, right? People who undoubtedly love our people. You have to be a special type of person to risk it all. You have to be a special type of person. Mumia Abu-Jamal. When I left that prison yesterday, I was charged. I was charged. And we was cracking jokes. We was talking shit. Daruba said, hey, man, tell Mumia I love him and tell him he's still a baby, what he said here today. So I said, I told him, hey, man, Daruba said, you're still a baby. He laughed. And he said, Daruba's just mad because I said he was loquacious. And then when we was leaving and whatnot, you know, we embracing everything. I'm walking. He said, oh, yeah, one more thing. I said, what's up? He said, tell Daruba I'm going to fuck him up. And we just started laughing even louder because of the fact that this is, you know, we get used to the man on these commentaries. You get used to the brilliance of the man around the books and all that. That's beautiful. But we are human. And as Che talked about, to paraphrase, he said, what? Revolution is an act of what? Love. That's why we're here, right? Now, some of y'all still caught up that I came up here in the first part and I start cursing. I see some of y'all got your nose turned up. I don't give a shit. You can't mess with me. I just look like this. Don't get it twisted. I don't care about a church unless we got a Nat Turner tradition in that church. This is a house. America's a house, but America's a burning house. I met with the French delegation here earlier today. And I was grateful because of the fact that one of the brothers spoke English. He was translating. And the rest, they had questions, they had comments, so on and so forth. But it's like they traveled many miles to get here. And they was here the last 20 years, as far as I know. I remember they were at the 20th year anniversary when we came down. I mean, excuse me, his 50th birthday. And I remember the 60th birthday. And here we are, Mumia is 70 years old. Mumia went to prison. Excuse me, that case took place. I was 11 years old. I just turned 11. That happened 4 days after my 11th birthday. That's how long he's been. I'm 53. I'll be 54 this year. The man's been locked up since I was 11. Y'all understand what I'm saying? My oldest grandchild is 16. You understand what I'm saying? This is the reality of it. I'm happy today because I see so many beautiful faces. It's like a family reunion. But we must not lose sight of why we're here. A lot of y'all came up to me today. Yeah, we love what y'all are doing on Black Power Media, so on and so forth. We're grateful. We're grateful for that. But like I said, we got to be more than just the men on the mic. That's all cute. When we get off that stage, when we leave here, we saw all these veteran Panthers and whatnot, and we saw all these great speakers, so on and so forth. But guess what? We heard Mumia, but Mumia's still up in that damn coal mine. He's literally in a coal mine. This is like Pennsylvania, and it's a coal town. If anybody, you know, that don't know, I'm just telling you straight up. So folks are asking, like, you know, well, how is he? What condition he is? The man's been locked up 43 years. You tell me what condition he's supposed to be in. Huh? But I say today that he was in great spirits. He's a beautiful man. And like I said, he was such an inspiration to me, and he will continue to be. But right now, I come to you saying that we have to do better. As Nkrumah talked about, we got to put aside our petty differences. But we also have to be clear that counterinsurgency is alive and well. Counterinsurgency is alive and well. We talk about COINTELPRO in passing. We talk about like it was a thing to pass over the 70s and, you know, the 60s and so on and so forth. It's a lot of folks who are looking to derail movement right now. Right now, I hate to sound like Nas, and I said hip-hop was dead. The movement is damn near dead. Because some of y'all, I don't know where the hell you're moving to. Movement is about action. And movement is not just about, you know, I fed some people some funky bread and some jelly and some sandwiches, and we went on Facebook and we talked about, oh, what a great job we did. Movement is not about reinventing or remixing the 60s. We have to create our own legacy. We have to fight to get folks like Varonzo Bowers out. We have to fight to get folks like Kamal Siddiqui out. We got to fight to continue to see our brothers and sisters come home, not when it's 5 days before they're scheduled to die, not till they're on their last breath and you can hardly feel their pulse in their bodies. That's played out. That's played out. So I ask you all, how many of y'all are ready for revolution? How many of y'all are ready for revolution? Clap your goddamn hands if you're ready for revolution.
Let me put your fist up like this. I'm like, where am I at?
I'm wrapping up. But if you're serious about our people's liberation movement, you look at folks like me, you look at Leonard Peltier, who has been locked up 48 years, has every kind of medical condition you could think of, blind. I mean, I had his attorneys and folks on our show recently, and she was running off so much stuff what was wrong with him. I was waiting to say he's also 8 months pregnant. That's how many medical situations he has. Everything's jacked up. You understand what I'm saying? And we're sitting back with the T-shirts and all that. We have to take this to another level. We have to organize. We have to build a united front. And we have to move with force. And until then, and only then, we will be victorious. I love y'all. I appreciate y'all. And I hope that everything I said, you understood in a way that, in a way of love and not of arrogance and not of disrespect. Peace to y'all.
All around the world. I remember we've been having the LOC conference here in Philadelphia. He was awesome for that too. Rest in power to Mama Akosa with Sabri. If you know, you know. I want to bring up one of the fierce, long-time revolutionaries. In 97, we had the Million Women March in Philadelphia that brought 2.5 million to Philadelphia along the parkway. We got to understand the historical significance of that. So 95, we know that the minister brings more than 2 million to D.C. for the Million Man March. And the sister here in Philadelphia made a decision to galvanize organizers, men and women alike, to say we needed a space for the women around the world to gather. And it becomes a historic moment in time in 97. To this day, I meet people who say, I was there at the Million Women March in Philadelphia. And she leaves a legacy not only of being a longtime supporter of Mumia Abu-Jamal, but also of the Move 9 and all the work for Black Liberation. So give it up, y'all, for Empress Soleil. With the RBG, of course.
I say. I want to thank first the organizers for this incredible, incredible event, and always my sister Pam Africa, who from day one was supportive of the historic and original Million Woman March. And I'm so blessed to be able to stand here today to be able to bring truth to power, because there's a lot of information that people do not know. And one of those things is the Million Woman March was greatly inspired by, my name is Mumia Abu-Jamal. Now, why do I say that? While many talk about Mumia in the context of being a political prisoner, in the context of being, of course, a Black Panther, I can talk about Mumia in the context of being in the Black community here in Philadelphia. We knew him as he walked our streets, sat on our steps, ate with us. That's the Mumia we knew, loved, and when we heard he was almost murdered, we went into complete action. Committees were formed immediately in the city. We met at a place called the AFCOM Learning Center, where many of the Black events and things of that nature were being held. And we met regularly in preparations for the trial. And I watched Black folks from all over the city come in support of Mumia Abu-Jamal. Because remember, he was very popular then. He was not only for us the voice of the voiceless, he was for the enemy one of the 10 most up-and-coming people in Philadelphia, as the Philadelphia Magazine indicated. That was clue number one. That's when we should have realized something was maybe we need to look at closer. Both came often for the meetings, but guess what? And as the brother just said, Philly is cold. You hear me? Philly is cold. We have proof of that. The first capital of the United States is Philadelphia. It's the home of the Boule. So that means you got a whole nother energy going on up in here. But going back to our community here, came together, but once the verdict was read, once Mumia was found guilty, the Negroes in Philly went like this. So it's really wonderful to see kind of things come back around. I knew Mumia as a student, so hail up to students. I was a student when I met Mumia. He used to come to my campus and record his independent media called Black Times Audio. He was a journalist on the radio program or the newspaper or whatever, but he always did his own independent media. So he would literally come to our campus, record it, and then send it out to independent underground media people and entities. I used to sit and watch Mumia. And that's why one of the reasons now I've been doing radio for 16 straight years, New Day, Resurrection, and Liberation. And it has a certain type of tone to it. Because in watching Mumia, I learned excellence. I learned diction. I learned how to, what he would do when I would watch him, he would write something and then he'd read it back. He would tape it and then if he didn't like it, he'd rewind it, he'd read it again until it had a timing, until it had a sharpness and so forth. This is what Mumia would do. And as you now know, this is what he's always done. We've been playing Mumia Abu-Jamal commentaries every time they come out, ongoing. So no time is limited, so I'm going to give you action stuff because a lot of people have shared their information. So let me give you what we call kazi, work, assignment. Other speakers lend to what we're going to do, the brother from Palestine, etc. Well, here's what we're going to tell you. And by the way, before Mumia was sentenced, I was allowed to go visit him when he was at Holmesburg. Before the trial even started, I was a legal runner that would come on the streets to gather up information from the street level. And I was pregnant with that young man right there. And so, yes, so when we say youth, We see the fruition of that and also the continuation, the consistency, which is what Mumia always showed us. But again, quickly, point of action. So the Million Woman World March is coming. It'll happen in October. For those that do not know, the Million Woman March original did what? Made sure that Sister Pam Africa, that the issue of MOVE could be brought to the masses. With an estimated 2.5 million physically and 10 million virtually. It also made sure that the issue of the Move 9 was to be brought forward because Sister Ramona Africa spoke. So we literally was able to share with the generation who wasn't that familiar with either Move or Mumia, but also Sister Sada, because a message was read from Sister Sada in English and in Spanish. So now to fast forward, we have not gotten the support of most in this city or anywhere else because we've never had a grant, we've never had corporate sponsoring, and because we will never bow down, and as Brother sure that you learn how to fight nonstop. So with that said, for Mumia, this is what we say today. We've connected with a group of young folks called the Hip Hop Federation. They're all over the country. And we gave them an assignment yesterday. And we said, your assignment is to create a primer. For those of you who are older, y'all know what a primer is. Okay, I'm going to break it down for you. It's really like a preliminary kind of thing that helps people to know information or facts or whatever in a very simplistic manner. So the young students are now charged with creating a primer or a prereq for Mumia, about Mumia. They have that assignment. So they're doing research and evaluating what things to write best. Second, today we announce we are launching the Mumia Abu-Jamal School of Journalism. What you said? You said you bad? You said you bad, Brother Kalonji? You said you bad? Join the club.
I know.
So, students and anyone that wants to learn journalism, research, reporting, author, writing, whatever, first phase is studying Mumia. And by the way, the last time I was blessed to talk with Mumia, I asked him about this, and he laughed. Because he was like, oh, yeah. And we're like, no, we want to do this. He said, okay. So when he is ready, we will do correspondence courses with him. But the beginner thing is the students will have to read Mumia's works, obviously. And again, from there, we're able to not only report on what's going on in your communities or the things that's relevant to us, but also to keep Mumia's information out there. So this, again, is what we're going to be able to do. And if you want more information, our website is under construction. It is www.officialmillionwomanworldmarch. It is not going to be in Philly, .com. It's not going to be in Philly. We're taking it to another city until things change in this city because a lot of money was generated here, and there's been little to no appreciation for that and a lot of misinformation and et cetera. So we're taking it to Washington, D.C. Hey, Brother Akbar! And my condolences to this brother right here. I'm just amazed to see you. If I may just share, brother's grandson was murdered yesterday. So when you talk about commitment, he's here, coming in from D.C. Again, www.officialmillionwomanmarch.com. Love you. Thank you. Free Mumia. Free Mumia. Free Mumia now.
Thank you. Please support Ever Filet and the new Mumia Abu-Jamal School of Journalism. Hopefully some of you have been able to watch a podcast on YouTube called The Classroom and the Cell, or possibly even read the book. Maybe you've been able to read the writings of his daily YouTube. But more importantly than that, as Kalonji alluded to, building institutions by way of Uncle Bobby's Coffee and Books, authoring several books himself, speaking on behalf of Mumia Abu-Jamal many, 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 many times over the years, in behalf of all the press people everywhere. And I can remember, if I could just share this as I'm bringing him up, being on a plane with his brother, coming from Palestine, and everybody was sleeping and everybody was watching movies. His brother's at his seat, typing away. I kept looking over, like, through the seat, like, what is he typing? He's typing. And we landed in New York City, and he said, yeah, I got to be at the UN in about an hour. And that would become a very unforgettable moment in time as we watched this brother give this speech and share those words from the river to the sea. But in the spirit of boldness and humanity, speak truth to power in the most sincere and authentic way. He's a brother of ours, he's a brother of yours, and he's committed at every turn. Even when he's got multiple things going on, he's going to be here. And so with that being said, family, what we're going to do is bring up Malcolm R. Hill.
apologize for being here so late. It's been a crazy day in about four cities. But I could not be here for my brother, Mumia Abu-Jamal. This is a moment of multiple things. First, this is a moment of remembrance. Mumia has made it to the age of 70. That is a victory in and of itself. They didn't want Mumia to live to be 70 or 60 or 50 or 40. The prison that he's in, the prisons that he's been in, the dungeons that he's been forced to live in inside of SCI this and SCI that have been designed and constructed like they have been for everybody else to kill us, to destroy our spirits, to destroy our minds, to destroy our families, to destroy our communities, and ultimately to destroy ourselves, our bodies, our lives. And Mumia is a testimony to what happens when you struggle, when you resist, and when you fight. But you don't do it as an individual. You do it as a collective. Mumia's 70th birthday is a celebration for him, but it's a celebration for every single person that has rolled up their sleeves, put their hand to the plow, and done the work of making sure that the state keeps their hands off of our brother. And I see so many people here, whether it's Betsy, whether it's Pam, whether it's Gabe, whether it's Johanna. I can name so many people, Brother Mike, so many people here. And in an individual effort, even at the level of resistance, we only win when we struggle together. We don't need no celebrity activists. We don't need no brands. We need reputations. We need people who are willing to struggle and sacrifice for the movement, and that's what Mumia has always done. I always sort of tease Mumia about the books he writes, because he writes, so, first of all, he writes so many of them. And I wrote a book with Mumia, and people think I write fast. I send Mumia something, he sent it back in like 2 days, the whole chapter done. And I said to him, I said, why do you not write about yourself more? You wrote one book that kind of gets at your experience. This is somebody who's been railroaded, somebody who's been lied on, somebody who has been, from the very moment he entered those handcuffs, been completely, not just mistreated, but been a model for how the United States picks and chooses who they want to prosecute, picks and chooses when they want to use the Constitution, picks and chooses when they believe in justice, because for every single time we've gone to that courthouse, there has been a Mumia exception. Every single time. He could have written books on how the Constitution has failed him. He could have written books on how judges pretend to be impartial, but people like Judge Sabo decide that they're going to be the judge, jury, and executioner. They're going to be the prosecutor and the defense attorney. They're going to be the decider of somebody's fate, even if it flies in the face of everything that America says it's supposed to be. If he saw that, he could have written books about that. He could have signed away scripts to have movies made about him. But what he did instead is spend his life fighting for other people. He's written far more about the Move 9 than he has himself. He's written far more about the atrocity that happened on Osage Avenue than he's written about himself. He's written far more about those brothers who don't have death row, who don't have life sentences, but who still need a jailhouse lawyer. He's written about that. Why? Because when Mia said it ain't about me, it's about us. And so it's a day of celebrity, but it's a day of remembrance, but it's also a day of celebration. But it's also a day of purification. We got to purify our commitment to struggle. We got to remind ourselves of why we got here, because all of us can get caught up in this. All of us can get caught up in who gets the mic last, who gets the biggest name, who gets the biggest shout out, who gets the shout out in the book, who gets the shout out at the rally, who gets the shout out on the rap verse, who gets this, who gets that. We all can get, I know I can, we all can get caught up in that. But when we come back to the fact that this man has been on death row for most of his adult life,
life and now sits in slow death row with a life sentence that he does not deserve. When we look back at that, we got to remember that our commitment ain't to us, it's to them. And it isn't just about Mumia. Mumia is a model for a state that continues to lock up people for their political positions. A state that continues to have more political prisoners than the so-called axes of evil, the so-called bad nations. We talk all that stuff. We do all that red baiting. We talk all that stuff about China and Cuba, all these lies. But at the very same time, we continue to cage more people than anybody else in the world. He is a marker of that crisis. Today's also a day of victory, though. Because sometimes when you struggle and you don't win, you can start to think about this. Like, it ain't worth struggling for no more. I'll never forget, we were at the Constitution Center. You were there. We celebrated Mumia getting off death row. And some white leftists pulled me aside after I left the Constitution Center. He said, "What's wrong with you, man? What are you up here celebrating Mumia? He's still on slow death row, which we all agreed on. But he's still got life. How are you celebrating anything? Shame on all of you all for celebrating. He's still got life. This isn't a victory. This is a loss." I started feeling bad, Johanna, for feeling good. I was ashamed of myself for being proud that people like Pam, the long-distance runners, had got him free off of death row. I said, damn, here I am thinking that we done did something and we ain't did nothing. About a month later, I went to Greaterford, visiting Mumia. And I went to see him and I gave him a hug. It's the first time I hadn't seen him at SCI Green on death row. And I told him, I said, Mumia, yo, I got to tell you something. I like to tell Mumia when I look, because he's smarter than me. He read more. So I was like, I got to tell him. You want to tell your old head, you got something. I was like, yo, bro, I'm in on this. I found out, yo, I thought about it, man. This ain't no victory. This is a loss. We ain't did nothing. Mumia looked at me, and he said, he said, anybody who say that ain't never been on death row. He said, we did a whole book together and we did it behind concrete and steel. Now I gave you a hug for the first time. He said, I hadn't seen Wadia and been able to kiss Wadia in years, but I could do it. His beloved wife, may she rest in peace. He said, I could do it because of what y'all did. I got grandchildren who I could hug for the first time. I was doing 23-1 for most of my life. I was deprived of human contact, and now I got it. What do you mean it wasn't a victory? Thank you. Because of your struggle, we can fight to live another day and live to fight another day so that one day I can be free, but more importantly, we can all be free. Celebrate the victories. Celebrate the victories. If not for you and you and you and you, Mumia wouldn't be here celebrating the 70th. And maybe if not for Mumia, we wouldn't be here right now with the political clarity to know that we got more work to do. Because it's also a day of re-energization. We got to get re-energized for the next phase. We pat ourselves on the back, but we keep going. Like we tell our kids at the 8th grade graduations, when they got the limos and the suits, cool. You still got to go to high school. You still got work to do. If Mumia does not come home, or if, as my brother said, if Mumia comes home in some liberal, self-congratulatory stunt to bring our brothers and sisters home, 1 week before they die, or 1 month before they die, so that they can pretend that they had mercy, then we have not succeeded. Not because of the outcome, but because of our failure to keep fighting. The victory is in what? The struggle. And we will continue to struggle for Mumia. But we won't let Mumia become a celebrity prop either. Because he don't want that. We will fight for Mumia, but we will fight for every brother, sister, man, woman, and
and child that's inside of those dungeons right now, because every prisoner is a political prisoner in this white supremacist capitalist empire, and we're going to fight to free them all. Somebody say, free them all! Free them all! Free them all! And so that's the work we got to do, but as I said, the celebration ain't individual. The remembrance ain't individual, and so the struggle can't be individual. We got to organize. Organized people defeat organized power every time. So let's organize. Let's join movements. We ain't got to start an organization. Everybody got to start something. I go places, 50 black people in 25 organizations. Everybody president and vice president. That's not our struggle. That's not our tradition. Our tradition is organized, fighting, resisting. Somebody might be in front, but somebody else got to be organizing. Somebody got to be bailing somebody out of jail. Somebody got to be doing political education. Somebody got to be doing confrontation. Somebody got to be doing study. Somebody got to be doing healing. Somebody got to be doing praying. All of it matters in this struggle. So find your place. Find your role, submerge your ego, remember our ancestors, and continue to fight for the legacy of our brother, Mumia Abu-Jamal, brick by brick.
Give it up, y'all, Frank Lamar Hill, y'all. So we are at the end. We want to thank Waters Memorial AME Church, Pastor Atkins, for being such a phenomenally gracious host. Thank you, Pastor Atkins. Thank you, Brother Ajene, First Gentleman Ajene. Thank you so much for being just incredible. Thank you, everybody that's been watching on live stream for the past couple of, really all day. Thank you all for been watching on live stream. We're going to, as people are leaving, show the final videos, but please make your way out. They will be playing on your way out because we know people like to talk and walk, but make your way out, all right? We also will have vouchers. Raise your hand in the back. We got vouchers for the cars if you have them. If you need it, they'll be outside. We also have COVID tests as well. So if you want a COVID test on your way out, we'll have those available to you all as well. If you understand that as well. Final word from my sister Claudia.
Thank you. It has been amazing to absorb up so much wisdom and power in this room. Thank you all for coming out tonight to celebrate our freedom fighter who deserves to come home and should be home. Thank you, everyone. I saw Mama Pam also had a Free Aunt t-shirt on. We got to say Free Aunt, someone who spoke so powerfully always about Mamiya. Free Aunt. Free Aunt. Thank you, Hey56. Sunny. Okay. The Minister of Archiving and Documentation. Thank you to everyone tonight. Thank you to the panelists. Thank you to you all. And be well. Free Mamiya. Free Mamiya. Free them all. Free them all. Free them all.
So this is the last few videos, y'all. We got a video from Cornell West up there. But again, please make your way out as you're doing that. But we'll show the last few videos as people are walking out. Thank you so much. Be safe on your way home, y'all.
Morning, Brother Mamiya. It's almost 5 a.m. here in Little Rock on Wednesday, the third day of April. But I wanted to, and I should tell you that I am an early riser, so this is 2 hours after I've awakened, but I wanted to get this video to you early in the day. And make sure I got it over to Sister Julia Wright in adequate time so it can be part of the many messages that are wishing you well as you celebrate your 70th birthday. I want to add my congratulations to those of countless other people around the world.
We want you all to know that we had an opportunity to visit Mumia Abu-Jamal on death row. He gave me one statement on death row.
And
can you kill the volume for a second? Yeah. He said to do what you are compelled to do,
from the
then do what you are able to do. Support Dominion Women's March World International. Support the efforts that are going into free Mumia Abu-Jamal. And support the efforts to get a new legal direction and do things differently and watch the different results come in. Sheikh Imam Akbar, Washington, D.C. And power to the people. All power to the people. Assalamu alaikum. And black power. Black power. Black power. And a strong black military to block that call. Power to the people.
People who should be calling for your release. Both in Philadelphia and throughout the United States. But are not doing so because they are more in love with the American version of empire than they are the notions of liberation and prophetic hope that you represent. I am proud to have read your works and have lended my small effort toward your release, and I am inspired by the fact that you keep trying. You are still trying to teach love and trying to teach hope and truth. You're trying to inspire and still trying to hope and still trying to find joy and still trying to overcome, just as Sister Angela Davis is one of the great people I admire for trying. I admire you, Brother Mumia, for trying and refusing to surrender. You have been doing this for more than 40 years, and you have been doing this during half of that time that you're on a formal death row status, and the other half you've been on a de facto death row, life without parole, which is death by incarceration. I commend you for refusing to surrender your prophetic voice behind bars, and I commend you for refusing to surrender your status as a love warrior in the face of so much hatefulness, bloodlust, bigotry, and devotion to empire. I made a couple of notes to myself because I wanted to make sure that I did not miss saying this. Your bravery, your grace, your fortitude, and your compassion are inspiring to me and countless others across the world, and they make you a prophet without equal, a prophet without peer, telling the truth from your place of confinement and incarceration, making you more free than others who refuse to speak truth, even when they have both opportunity to do so and an obligation to do so. So I pray God's blessings on you and hope that these words of greeting reach you with strength and with encouragement. We will continue. I will continue demanding your release from incarceration, your return to us. Brother, you are our brother in struggle, and you just continue to press onward. Continue to love onward. Continue to speak and write your truth. Continue to broadcast your word from the Barbershop and Beauty Shop radio program at KABF 88.3, the voice of the people in Little Rock, Arkansas. Brother Zachary Crow and I speak your name from New Millennium Church, the congregation I pastor in Little Rock, Arkansas. I speak your name from the Samuel DeWitt Proctor Conference that I co-chair with Bishop Leah Daughtry, and am proud to serve alongside Baba Jeremiah Wright and Mama Iva Carruthers and Brother Frederick Douglass Haynes III, and so many wonderful love warriors from the people who love you and know that you are a love warrior and a prophet without peer. Happy birthday, brother. You press on. You fight on. You live on. I look forward to seeing you outside, but continuing to advocate for you while you are inside. And God willing, I hope to visit you and we can share some conversation. But I will look forward to getting with you on the outside so we can do the liberation dance on the outside. And as the old folks said, saying how we got over, how we got over. A soul looks back and wonder how I got over. You're going to get over, brother. I look forward to celebrating that with you. Happy birthday. God be with you until we meet in person again. Bless you.
Sisters, brothers, and siblings, I so regret not being with you in person, so I wanted to virtually express my revolutionary solidarity with you all in the ongoing struggle to free our brother and comrade, Mamia Abu-Jamal. As someone who has had the incredible honor of visiting Mamia a number of times, starting in 1996, I never ceased to learn from his deep political insights on the global struggle. During my first visit, the first time I ever heard the term prison industrial complex was from Mamia. Despite being falsely imprisoned for almost 43 years, and many of those years on death row, and now dealing with declining health, Mamia has consistently and steadfastly always put the struggle first before himself, and therefore became known as the voice of the voiceless due to his powerful commentaries. Take his most recent one on the current genocide in Gaza that has taken center stage worldwide. Mamia demands an end to occupation and asks the questions, don't Palestinians deserve freedom, the right to exist, and statehood? This past April 17th was Palestinian Prisoners' Day to help call attention to the almost 10,000 Palestinian women, children, and men illegally detained and tortured for months and years by the Israeli apartheid state. And these are some of the same conditions that prisoners in this country face. So maybe we should have a U.S. Prisoners' Day to help call attention to the more than 2 million prisoners, including prisoners like Mamia, Leonard Peltier, and more, who the authorities want to cause a slow death by incarceration. And we say no to that. And let's call this U.S. Prisoners' Day on Mamia's birthday, because believe me, he would want such a day to be inclusive of prisoners oppressed by the same system of capitalism, occupation, and imperialism. I will end my remarks by requesting that we make Mamia more visible at the pro-Palestine protest with his formulations like IOF equals Israeli death force. This will help bring attention to who Mamia is and his relevance to this young, dynamic movement in solidarity with Palestine. And there is no better time to help bring attention to Mamia's case with these militant young activists by demanding on May Day, International Workers' Day, to declare, quote, workers support the Palestinian resistance and also to free Mamia, Leonard, and all political prisoners from the U.S. to Palestine. Thank you.
to former Councilman Charles Barron, former State Assemblyman, and still a Black Panther to my heart, saying, Free Mumia, and our birthday greetings to you, my brother. We're going to continue to fight. The best present we can give you is your freedom in a liberated Black community. Free Mumia, free them all.
Inez Barron here, wife of Charles Barron, saying we send you great, magnanimous birthday greetings. Glad to celebrate the birth of such a fantastic warrior, always fighting for the people. And we say that we're continuing to fight and to struggle on your behalf, fighting for your freedom. On behalf of Operation Power, we say Free Mumia. And we say each day should be the day that we get the results and get the results that we want in terms of getting your freedom. We're believing it, we're fighting for it, and we shall succeed.
My dear brother Mumia Abu-Jamal, 70 years, happy birthday. You are one of the great public intellectuals and freedom fighters alive. Love you forever, my brother. Stay strong. God bless you.
Comrade Mumia Abu-Jamal, happy birthday. You're 70 years old. You've outlived so many of our heroes. Frantz Fanon died at 36, incredibly young. Lenin died in his 50s.